Amen. Well, I sure appreciate the hospitality last night. The food was wonderful. The fellowship was great. And really impressed with your preacher and his wife. The family, he talks with glee in his eye. Amen. Family's a wonderful thing. Amen. And I was a late bloomer. I know there's probably a couple of people in here that didn't hear my testimony. I was saved at 34 years old, but reading Bible tracts. And so I always want to encourage people to grab some tracts. If you don't have any, get some and hand them out wherever you can, in the restaurants, any place you can, because somebody like me is going to pick them up some way. And the devil will tell you that that never works, but it does, amen. The Word of God is a wonderful thing, and I want to just really this morning try to be an encouragement to you. I've battled a little bit. I had a message that God gave me in the middle of the week, and then this morning I was looking at some other things, and I thought maybe I'll go that way. But I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians. I hope you have some favorite books. Of the Bible, maybe some writers. I like the Apostle Paul, amen, his writing in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Preacher, I need to be done at 11:30? Oh, it's 12:30 you said. I forgot. Okay, I remember now. I got it. All right. 2 Corinthians, we're going to be in chapter 5, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's read the first 10 verses. The Bible says, "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And this will be our text verse. "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I want to focus on that ninth verse. "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, again, or this morning, Lord. And Father, I pray that just in this short time that we have in the Word of God, that God, that you would apply some things to us, Lord. I pray, God, if there's anyone here this morning that knows thee not, that God, you would save that one. Father, we certainly need your help and your presence in here, Lord. Father, put me behind the cross, and God, just preach through me, Lord. Father, I pray that you touch hearts this morning, Lord. Jesus, we need you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just challenge you this morning. How many of you have ambitions today? We can be an ambitious people, amen? But I want to challenge you to be ambitious about pleasing God this morning. You know, the Apostle Paul, I think about this. The Apostle Paul, before he was saved, was Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus was a mean man, amen? And I don't know about you, but I know that I was a mean man before I got saved, amen. I was a drunk. I chased women. I did all kinds of different things when I was drunk. And when God got a hold of my heart and saved my soul, I stopped walking that way and started walking this way, amen. And I am not a perfect Christian by a long shot, and neither are you, but we ought to make it our ambition. We ought to make it our ambition to please God, amen, with everything that we do. And so the Apostle Paul walked away from Saul of Tarsus and became the Apostle Paul. He was a mean man, but then he turned into a man that was just burdened about souls, amen. And you know, the souls of men today are probably the important thing that we ought to focus on. You know, the constant aim of everyone who really knows the Lord should really make it their process each day. You know, when we wake up in the morning, we ought to, I don't know about what you think about, but you know, God's been dealing with me. God deals with preachers just like he does with you, amen. And God's trying to get me to focus on certain things, amen. You know, I don't know about you, but I used to be a soul-winning machine, and I've gotten busy in this ministry, and I don't have a lot of time to do that stuff like I used to. I've won I don't know how many people into Christ at doorways and in public places, all of those different things, but God has really been trying to get me to connect. You know, and I've been asking God, and he really impressed upon my heart that, you know, every day, preacher, you need to bump into somebody that you can lead to the Lord, every day that you can talk to somebody about me. Amen. And we get so busy in life, and I think today that probably in your life, maybe you're busy, and we need to make it our ambition to be pleasing to God. Amen. And so we see in John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. When Jesus came down here, it was a pleasure for him, amen. I mean, he worked the ministry. He was, and you say, well, he was God in the flesh. Yes, he was. But listen, he was our, he's the one that we watch, amen. He's the one that we follow. And we must submit to the things of God. This Bible teaches us what we need to do and what we not to do, amen. And I'm concerned today. I was concerned when I was a pastor. We get so busy in the work. We get so busy in our lives and all those things, and we forget about this book sometimes. We forget about the things that God wants us to do, amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm trying to be more ambitious about the things of God today. Are you, amen? You know, we make New Year's resolutions. There we go. I'll get it right. Well, I've got, somebody's got a hold of my tongue this morning a little bit. But you know something today? We just need to be ambitious about the things of God. Can I say this morning? There's no better place on a Sunday morning at this time at 10 after 11 to be right here. Amen? There's people sitting in the restaurants today. There's people still laying in bed. There's people doing work today. They're working in their yards. It's spring. All of those different things. But the best place to be is in church when the doors are open. Amen? Amen. That's the first thing. Amen? And there's some things I want to talk about. But the things that we need to understand is it needs to be our ambition to please him. Please him every day. Amen? Think about it. Think about pleasing him. We get so occupied with things. You know, this world today is really, I'm not saying anything this morning you already don't know, but it just seems today that we're so caught up with what's going on outside of the church. Amen? We talk about it often. We talk about all the sinful things that are going on outside of the church and stuff. You know, I believe today the electronic age we live in is killing a lot of people. We see so many people like, you can't even, we were talking to the preacher about this last night a little bit. You used to go door knocking, you could win people to try Christ at the door, but now you can't get them to put their phone down so that you can talk to them about Christ, amen? And so, but that ought not to stop us doing what we do, amen. We've got to be focused. We've got to be ambitious. And you know, there were some people that were great examples in the Bible that were ambitious for Christ. You know, in Genesis chapter 5, 21 and 22, the Bible says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. There was a time when Methuselah got caught up with God and was doing God things, amen. I want you to know that there needs to be a time. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've fallen back. Maybe you aren't where you used to be. You know, can I say something to you? In this ministry that I'm in, I have got, preacher mentioned we're a little bit older, amen. I'm going to be 62 here at the end of the month. And I feel really good. I feel young. I don't have any real good, real bad health problems or anything like that. My energy is still pretty good, but the point being here is that I want to please God. I want to please God. And Enoch, there was a time when he started walking in the ways of God, that he made that choice. And we've got to make that choice. I want to do better. God's dealing with me in my public ministry, but in my devotionals every day, when I'm with God, He is speaking to me. I tell you, I've been in the Bible. I'm working on a one year reading through the Bible in 1 year, and I usually don't like to do that, because I'm going this way and that way, it just keeps me going. And I've been reading through 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. And you know something? God taught me something in that. You're reading about the different families, the names, all of those things. I found myself last week sitting at the desk weeping about those things. God, and I believe it was just because I was being obedient with the things of God. And just, you know, God just fills my heart with joy. Amen. We need to be in the Bible. We need to be ambitious about those kind of things. Listen, we can't live in this world if we don't stay in this book. Amen. We'll get caught up in it. Amen. This book will keep you clean. This book will keep you sharp. This book will keep you going forward. Amen. I don't know about you. I've been talking to people about Jesus got a lot of names, but I like the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Because everything outside of this church is changing. Amen. Everything's changing. Everything that used to be bad and wicked today, it's okay. Amen. I'm glad today that we've got a God that still stands in the same place that He was before the foundation of the world. Amen. We have a God who changes not. Amen. He told the Old Testament people what? He says, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. Amen. God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. Amen. We've got people say, well, you Christians aren't very lovely because it's one way to heaven. What about all these other people? God loves all those other people. He died for all those people. Amen. Amen. That's what we need to talk about. But so oftentimes we cower and listen, we need to tell people that God loves you. He loves you so much that He went to that cross of Calvary and died. Amen. He died on that cross for the sins of mankind. Red, yellow, black, or white, it doesn't matter. They're all precious in His sight. Those are the songs we sing. We need to sing the songs of Jesus, amen? We need to be ambitious about the things of God. But Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But it goes on to say, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, something else that I see in my own mind and maybe in your life, you know, I would be a fool to sit up here and say that what's going on in this world today isn't like it used to be. We know this as the Lord tarries, this world is going to become wickeder and wickeder. Amen. I believe the electronic age has really sped that up, as I already said. I don't want to go there again. But we need to understand some things today. Is God in these, think about Saul of Tarsus. Here it is, this new Christian, Christianity. Saul of Tarsus spent all those years killing, jailing, all kinds of things. But yet God saved that man, and then he poured his heart into Christianity. You know something? I don't believe that it's any worse today than it was back then. Amen? When Christianity, when Jesus went back to heaven and the gospel's being rolled out, we read in those scriptures there where they were against the Christian religion. The Jews were very mean-spirited about that. And today, we know it's the law. We know we have those same things going on today, but we have Jesus who is the same. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a loving God. He's still a saving God. He's still a maker of miracles. Amen. He's still the miracle worker. How many of you here today have a testimony of a miracle in your life? Listen, if you're saved, it was a miracle. Amen. We didn't deserve it. But God came looking for you before you came looking for Him. Amen. He saved your soul. Today we're a miracle because we're here today. Amen. So many people just don't give God the glory, but we need to understand there is nothing greater than living day by day a life which is well-pleasing to God. This is the best place to be. in the books, the best place to be, working for God, doing the things of God, fellowshipping with the people of God today. Amen. I don't know about you. I love being in the churches. We were in 73 churches last year. I love it. I love coming in, meeting the people, getting to meet them, getting to understand them and talking to them and all the different things and all the things that people have told us and just the bonding of, you know, we're just family. Amen. I don't know your names, but I know that you're part of the family. Amen. And that's the great thing today. But one day we need to get ready for what God has for us. But we see some things. I just want to just give you just a few things this morning. And I believe this is, you know, these would be things that would be pleasing to God. You know, number one, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never been accepted into the family, if you've never realized what the Bible says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? What am I talking about? I'm talking about being born again. You know, I know there's some folks out in the world today that when, you know, I used to run into people all the time that say something like this. They say, oh, you're one of those guys that say that you need to be born again, right? Well, right. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Matter of fact, if you would turn to John chapter 3, you'll see here that Jesus was concerned about a religious man, and you know what I'm talking about here, but in John chapter 3, we see where Jesus, in chapter 1, or chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for thou, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, it's interesting that we know that Nicodemus was a religious man. He kept the law. He was doing everything in his flesh. Amen. Jesus came into this world to do something that we can't. Amen. He stood in our place. Amen. Do you realize that today? People mock Christ today. They laugh. But the truth of the matter, they won't laugh one day when they stand before him. And they'll find out. You know, I heard a preacher many years ago when I was a young Christian. He said this. I'll never forget it because it just kind of stunned me because I was just a new Christian at the time. And I thought, how could somebody be like that? But he said, listen, and I don't remember what scripture he used, but it doesn't really matter. He said, there'll be people that will curse God when they are casting him into hell. And I believe that's true today. People are so, but here's the thing. Today, making it our ambition to please him, people need to see Christ today, and the only way that they can see Christ is through you and through me.
Right.
Amen? They need to see something in you that they want to have. Amen? And I'm telling you today, it seems that there's a lot of people that are not, it's the importance of living right. Amen? You know, religion, the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he was a very mean man. Amen. I mean, he had orders. He thought he was doing right. And today, listen, we have a large population in this country now of Muslims. And Muslims are still hanging on to that law. Amen. And the law is brutal. Amen. And there's coming a day where we may be in danger in this country. But you know something? We need to be loving Christians today. We need to be loving to all men and women. Amen. And just really try to get them to understand. But Nicodemus was a leader. He was a priest. And it says here that Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So we see every man and woman is by nature the flesh, and while in the flesh, we can never please God. So being born again, it's so important that we understand the need for that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, in verse 8, it says, so then that they are in the flesh cannot please God. We can work our way to heaven, we think, but the truth of the matter is, what's good enough? Amen? Jesus came into this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus hung on that cross for the sins of mankind, one time forever. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, this idea out here, well, you guys, you know, we don't like your religion because it's only one way. That's the best way. Amen?
Amen.
He was crucified on the cross. He became sin according to Paul. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. He took your sin. He took my sin. He became sin on that cross. And that's when he crossed. You know, there was two of those men, the malefactors on both sides. One got saved, one went to hell, amen. It was a choice. They saw the one man identified who Jesus was, and he accepted him. That man's in heaven today. The other one decided he was going to reject him. Today, if you're lost in this place, if you've never been saved, you have a choice to make. You're either going to be saved or you're going to be lost, amen. But you know what? When you stand before Christ, he'll cast you out. But today he loves you. Amen?
Amen?
He's a loving God because he died in your place. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I say something to you? Last week I was in prison. I preached about the maniac of the Gadarenes. I've been in church long enough. I pastored long enough. I've been with enough people in this last 20-some years, soul winning and witnessing. I believe today in any church, there's people that are lost. And what I mean by that is they are lost, but they just hope that they're saved. They're clinging to, you know, maybe something, this or that, but they do not have peace in their heart. I believe there's some of those people in here this morning, maybe. All I'm saying is when you look at the scriptures, when I got saved reading a Bible tract, I read the Word of God. The Word of God spoke to my heart. And you know something? Because of the lifestyle that I had to agree with God. The wages of sin is death. Amen? I knew that nobody had to tell me I was a sinner. I knew that I was a sinner. And when I realized that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again, then whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I took that gift, amen? Now, did I understand all of it right away? Maybe not, but I just believed that that's the way you got saved. That's what I'd heard in church over and over and over again. And I can tell you there was a time and a place. I can't tell you the exact day. I can tell you the month and the year, March of 1991, in a parking lot in a place called Gordon Lumber. I just got done with a buyer. I stepped out of my car and I looked up to the sky because I knew God was up there, and I asked him to save my soul. Now, has he ever challenged me on that? In the early days, yes. Hey, man, I can remember a preacher doing some stupid things, you know, even after I got saved. And man, I'd go to the preacher and say, man, I messed up. Man, did I lose my salvation? I talk about that. You know how I'm talking about that. Amen. But you know something? When Jesus saves you, you ought to know it.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. You know, 8 guys walked the aisle last Sunday morning because I really hit them on that. Because the maniac of the Gadarenes was seated. We're talking about a guy living up in the caves, naked, hollering and barking and doing all those crazy things and cutting himself, all the things that people do today. But when Jesus walked up into his life, the Bible says that he was seated, clothed, and in his right mind. And you know what he did? After he got saved, he went down to the city, and you can read in the Bible where there was a little bit of revival down there.
Amen.
Can I say something to you? I'm not bragging, but I just know this. This is what I'm talking about. My first wife's mother, I loved her to death. When my first wife died, she moved in with me and watched my kids until God gave me my new wife. She spent a lot of time with me. And when I got saved, she told my wife one day, she says, I can't believe the difference in Dave. I'm telling you that, not to brag, but who gets the glory is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was all Jesus. wasn't anything that I did. All I did is step back, asked him to save my soul, and he changed the man that you're looking at. Amen. Am I perfect? Hardly. But I'm focused. Amen. Amen. And all I'm saying today is, if you're in this place this morning, if Jesus was talking to a priest named Nicodemus, who knew the law, knew the Old Testament of the Bible, said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Well, how can I do that? By believing in me. Believing that I died for you. Repent of your sins. And you know what that is? There's a whole bunch of people out there that say, oh, that repentance. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. Amen. When you realize that you are a sinner on your way to hell, and you ask God for forgiveness, and he comes into your heart. All I'm going to challenge you with this morning on this point is simply this. There's some people in here maybe sitting here today that have a hope so salvation. I wouldn't go to bed tonight and close my eyes with a hope so salvation. I would ask Jesus Christ to save you right now. Yeah. I would confess to God that I'm a sinner. How do you know I'm a sinner, preacher? Because God says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. Amen. You can fool your preacher, but you can't fool God. God's everywhere, always. He knows your thoughts, the intents of your hearts. Amen. He knows what you're thinking about, even when you're not speaking it. Amen. God is an all-knowing God. There's no place that you can hide from God. Amen. So make it your ambition before the end of this service today to get yourself saved. Amen. Amen. Bible says, whosoever, there's no person out there that God doesn't love. Do you know that verse right there, preacher? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That verse is full of love, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Oh, but us Christians we're not lovely. Amen. That one way. Jesus loves every person on this earth. Amen. He just doesn't like sin. Amen. Can't be in front of it. So today, if you're not saved, you'll have an opportunity. But you know, secondly, I think this is important for all of us today. The church as we know it today, again, I believe this book, King James Bible, this is the only book.
Amen.
There is no other. All the other ones are fractured, they're contaminated, not going into it a long ways, but this comes out of a separate text from all the others. So this has got to be wrong, right? No. Amen. This mighty book is powerful. Amen. Amen. This book will change your life. This book will clean you up. This book will talk to you and convict you. This is a talking book. Amen. Amen. Because it's a spiritual book. Amen. But one of the things that we see in the church today, and again, I praise God for the fact that I was led to a independent, fundamental, Baptist Church when I got saved, because I've learned a whole thing from them and all the other churches out there today. You know, the things that I'm not here to preach against anything. I think this is a solid church, but let me say something to you today. It's interesting today how I was talking to the preacher about this last night. It's interesting the things that God told me to get rid of are in churches today. I was addicted to alcohol. I don't know too many Baptist churches that have alcohol in them, but there's churches that you'd be surprised what goes on in churches. But one thing that God told me to deal with and deal with me very heavily, because it was a God in my life, and it was my rock music. Amen? Now listen to me. There's godly music and there's worldly music. Godly music lifts up Jesus and it touches our heart.
Amen?
Amen? Now listen. I'm not here to preach on music, but I am saying this, is that The second thing, the thing that's important to God, is that we must separate ourselves from all sinful and doubtful things in our lives. Separation needs to go on in your life the rest of your life. Whatever God has you to separate from. You know something today, I'll give you God's dealing with me. My wife is one of the great things I love about my wife is that she's the half of me. And she's my wife, and she looks out for me. And she knows things that bother me. I don't know about you, I'm bothered by the United States. I'm bothered by the things that are going on in this country. I'm bothered by the public school systems and the college campuses and taking God out of everything. That bothers me. It ought to bother you too. But the truth of the matter is, when I listen to all this stuff that's going on, it just gets me irritated. So I've got to contain myself, and I've got to cave myself, and I've got to stay in this Bible, and I've got to realize that God's in control of things. Amen. God's still on the throne, and God's still got control of things. Is the devil more rambunctious right now? Yes, he is. Amen. There's no doubt about it. And we know as we get close to when Jesus comes back, there are going to be some differences. It's going to be wicked. We know that. But the truth of the matter is we need to keep our noses here. We need to stay separated where we're at and realize that God's is still in control today. Amen. But when we become the born again, we become the children of God. You know, and I love what John says. John says in 1 John 3:1, he says, "Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us." That word bestowed means delivered up by definition. In other words, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Man, you remember John the Beloved? Amen. Oh, everybody in the picture. You know, that he's leaning on Jesus' breast, and now they're taking that the wrong way, and all of these different things they're trying to do. But John loved the Lord, amen? And you can see that in his books, amen? You can see that John loved the Lord. It wasn't anything like that, but behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, that's interesting. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, amen, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Separate, amen. In other words, we need to get closer to Jesus and get away from the world. Amen. Separation is so important in our lives. Separating from those things that draw you away from God. Amen. You know, it's hard living in this world sometimes. Amen. It truly is. But the only way that we can separate is we've got to stay close to God. We've got to cling to God. You know, Christian life is like a warfare. We know that. And, you know, think about Paul, the change in Paul's life. Do you know something? This place on Sunday mornings is like a hospital room. Amen? You have the divine word that does the surgery. You have the Holy Spirit who pricks your heart. And you know something? This room becomes, in the morning, in the preaching of the Word of God, God wants to do some spiritual surgery on you. Amen? But here's what lacks, is if we're only getting spiritual surgery on Sunday mornings, or Sunday nights, or maybe Wednesday nights, what about the rest of the week? Amen? This book's full of love. And the separation that we have, sometimes we fight with that. You know, I was a youth director for 8 years. And if there's a youth director in here, you know what I'm talking about. One of the hardest things working with children is the separation. Amen? My goodness, you go to Bible camp and the girls have to wear a dress and they have to be down below the knee and or above the knee or whatever it is. I can't remember all that stuff now, but all the different things that you had to do. And they went, wah, wah, wah. And you know who the biggest enemy was sometimes? Mom and Dad. Amen? I'm talking about some church people sometimes. What do you have to do that for? Well, if he was doing it like you're supposed to already, we wouldn't have to fight this fight.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm telling you today, as I told the prisoners last week, I said, guys, listen. I said, if you claim to be saved, I said, when you're walking around in the prison yard all day and you're mingling with these men, they ought to know that you're a Christian. And I said, when the maniac of the Gadarenes got saved and wonderfully saved and was at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind, he went down to Decapolis and he started proclaiming the gospel. I said, if you ain't living right, if you ain't proclaiming, if you ain't talking about Jesus out in that prison yard, you better check your salvation. Amen? I says, you've got to hope so. When I got saved, it was different. But God's not done with us. Everything that God talks to us about, we need to move. It's the love of God. Amen? Paul was a mean man, but after his conversion, he says, I am what I am, but by the grace of God. Can I say something to you today? Anything that God asks you to do, listen to me. You know, a preacher might need a school teacher, Sunday school teacher. He might ask you to go out and go soul winning. He may ask you to do this or that. And man, you just get all tense. But by the grace of God, I go. God would never ask you to do something that you couldn't do but by the grace of God. Amen. Once you're saved. Amen. Separation's easy when you realize all is you have to walk in the ways that God tells you. It's not hard. Amen. You know, I'm a little bit concerned, preacher. In a lot of churches today, we've got, we come into some churches. I'm a little bit alarmed what I see in here in the fundamental churches. Amen. Listen, we need to come to church prepared to meet the Master. Amen. There's a lot of shenanigans going on in churches today. Amen. It's good to see a church where the preachers, you know, I saw his heart last night. I shared my heart with him. And listen, I still love church. I love when God speaks to me and, you know, I got to separate from this or separate from that. You know, and what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about any sinful thing, but you know what? I was too much of this other stuff and I wasn't in my Bible enough. God dealt with me that 2 weeks ago. And I was so busy. I'm making all these calls, all these things. I'm not making excuses, but what got me on track is this. I picked up a one-year Bible reading chart, and that keeps me on track. Every day, I got my list. I got a little box. I read those chapters, and I X them off. Amen? Then I always read Psalms and Proverbs above that all, but I'm going to read the Bible. It keeps me on track every day. Amen? I'm in this book. And that might be something that you need to separate. There may be some things that are pulling you away from your Bible reading. Listen, I don't believe we have any people that are probably in some raunchy sin. Maybe there is. But if you are, God knows that. And you need to separate from that. Amen? You know, I got saved. That was 6 weeks after I got saved that I gave up drink. God was on me for 6 weeks. And God took that away from me. Amen? That had to go if God was going to use you. And I'm saying today there may be something in your life. And it could be something just as simple as that you are not reading your Bible like you're supposed to. And you need to separate from whatever is holding you hostage so that you can't do that. Maybe a prayer life that needs to be increased. Whatever it is. But what I'm saying this is that when we separate to God, when the Apostle Paul got saved, wonderfully saved, he was out on the back for 2 years, came back and he became a wonderful preacher with a heart that was wanted to get people saved. Amen? So you've got to separate from the things of this world or whatever it is. I'm not talking about wicked sin. What I'm talking about today is separation, is whatever God says needs to go. Amen? I'll be honest with you. I'm not even going to throw anything out at you, but we're living in the electronic age. And it's eating up a lot of time. Amen? It's eating up a lot of time. But I'm telling you what, we need to separate. You're going to have to be in the book. Amen. You'll never separate without the book.
Amen.
And you won't separate if you just come in here and listen to the preacher preach either. Amen? Amen? God talks through the book. That's why he talks to you through the preacher. Amen? But today, so number one, you need to be saved. Number two, you need to separate. And I just want to, and, you know, really just get you to think about today. Maybe you already are. Is God speaking to you about something that you need to get rid of, or maybe less of, so that you can spend more time with Him? That would be the separation that we need. The more time you spend with Jesus, the easier it's going to be for you to live in this life. Amen? I mean, He will just grab a hold of you, grab a hold of your heart, and you'll have that confidence that He changes not. Because when we walk out these doors, man, we get bombarded sometimes, amen? But you know the other thing, the last thing, and I'll be done. We've got to dedicate our lives to Christ. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, these are some of my favorite verses. The Bible says, Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice the Bible says, I beseech you. Now that word beseech, Paul uses that word. Amen? And Romans chapter 12, that word beseech literally means begging. I beg you. Why would a preacher beg you to do something? Because he knows the end result. Why would God beseech you, as Paul says here? Let's remember that Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So obviously, this isn't Paul. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to us. Amen. It's God. And the Bible says, I beseech you, literally begging, therefore, brethren, talking about saved people, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice there that we do these things by grace. See, we still have the grace that kicks in. We can do all the things that God asks you to do, that God wants to change in your life. You can all do it just like Paul did. I am what I am, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I go. Paul was a mean man, changed, saved, born again, went to the rabbinical school, you know, and got some lessons and got with the Lord and learned what he was supposed to do, and he was sent out. And Paul was just motivated to see people be saved and do the work of the God. Amen. That was his message. That's what he wanted. He wasn't satisfied with just salvation. He wanted people to be motivated in the work of God. Can I tell you today, your preacher wants you to be motivated in the work of God, because he can't do it all. Amen. This man sitting up here front, he's got a heart. I saw it last night. He loves his church. He loves his people, but he needs people that are motivated to be pleasing to God and to be separated like Paul was, and get in here and work where you can, where we need help. Amen. But it's going to take dedication. And look, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to continue to transform and transform and transform the rest of our lives, being more Christ-like and separated from the things of the world. Amen? You know something? People laugh at us sometimes for our standards. Amen? People laugh at us. They look at them nuts all pulling to that church. You know, there's a lot of people that are very anti and very vocal about church. Amen? But I can tell you, I was raised in church. And my father allowed me, I was raised in a wonderful family. I really was. My mom and dad were wonderful parents. Unfortunately, though, we were in a United Methodist church, and they didn't really preach the gospel like you're supposed to. So I never had an opportunity to get saved. But my dad let me get a job when I was 13 years old. And from 13 years old until really when I got married to my wife, I was in church just a little bit. And all those years I learned all the things of the world, got all caught up in all kinds of things from my teenage years all up into my mid-20s. But when I got into the Baptist church, got saved, it all changed. It started with salvation. Secondly, it was separation. And then thirdly, it was recognition. And what I mean by that, God started using me. Amen?
Amen.
Salvation, separation, God will use you. He can't use a dirty vessel. Amen? He can't use somebody that's not in the family of God. And he can't use anybody really that's not separated. Amen? And so those things need to be our ambition. And with that said, you know, separation, but then the dedication. Have you dedicated your life to Christ? And you know, some people are afraid to do that. They said, it might cost me. The Apostle Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. That's like gas in the tank. Amen. That's what it's all about. Well, let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you today. And Father, I'm asking and praying, Lord, on behalf of these people today, Lord. Father's a good group here this morning. And Father, I don't know, Father, situation here, Lord, with salvation. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask this question. I won't embarrass you, but maybe today you're here today and you don't have that concrete evidence. You don't have that peace in your heart that if you were to leave this earth, if you died, that you were 100% sure you'd go to heaven. Now let me clarify what I'm saying. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. All I'm saying is somebody as big as God moved into your life, you ought to know where it was and how it happened. You don't need to know the date. You don't need to know any of those things. But what I'm saying today, there might be some people in here that have always had a little bit of a flutter when those questions come from the preacher. Maybe today you're here today, and you know what, preacher? I do not have it settled. Not 100%. Got to hope so. I'm working on it. If that's you today, can I say this? Today should be the day of your salvation. How many people in here would say today with a raised hand, preacher, I am saved and know it? Anybody like that with a raised hand? Okay. Hands up all over. But I want to say something to you today. Don't leave this place without Christ today. But secondly, are you ambitious about the things of God? Are you a witness? Are you witnessing to people? Are you talking to people about Jesus? Are you inviting people to church? Are you working to get people in the church house? Those are important things, but it can happen without that separation. Maybe you're in here today and you say, preacher, there's something in my life that God's dealing with me, and I just realized today that by the grace of God, I can work on that. Anybody like that? Say, preacher, pray for me. Some things in my life that I need to change. Anybody like that? Some things I need to change in my life. Anybody at all? Raised hand, I'll pray for you. All right, hands going up all over the place. Amen. Last thing that we need to understand today is, how's your love for sinners? Making it your ambition. Dedicate your life to Christ. And the most important thing that you could do is be a witness for Christ. Dedicate to that thing. Talking to people about Christ. But you know what's more important? Most of us are not housebound because we're here today. One of the most important things that we need to dedicate to is living our lives as though we're in those heavenly places already. Amen? That we're Christ-filled, that we have love, showing our love, dedicating for that. As we have our altar call today, if you raised your hand, what I'd like you to do is to come up and maybe just take a few minutes and tell God what you need to do today. and just leave it with Him and ask Him for the grace to do what you want to do. Let's all stand. Father, we come to You today. Won't You come this morning and just spend some time with the Lord at the altar? Father, we come to You today, Lord, again, we just want to thank You for these folks. Father, for these people that are willing to, Father, come and, Father, give their petitions to You, Lord. Father, I pray that You would help these ones that raise their hands. And, Lord, if there's someone here today, Lord, that knows Thee not, Lord, may they not walk out of this building this morning without Your help. Father, thank You for being a loving God. Thank You for being a God who, Father, speaks. Father, thank You for this church, this pastor, and these people. And Lord, we need You now at this altar call. And Father, we'll thank You for it. Preacher, would You come?